Mark 16, 1 to 13. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterwards, Jesus himself sent out through them, from east to west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. As we think about the Bible and we think about this passage, so we can reflect on the wonder of resurrection, the wonder of the fact that actually there was a life that was dead, that is no longer dead, is resurrected to eternal life. And what we find in this passage is that there is, to some extent, a sense of bewilderment. There is, in these verses, not only the excitement of resurrection, but there's also the reality of fear. They fled from terror. They were amazed. They were so frightened that they didn't say anything to anyone to begin with. And then as we read through the passage, so what we find is that there is not only this reality of resurrection, but there is disbelief. There is, amidst the crowd of people they're telling this joyous news to, skepticism and fear. And so as we come to think about what it means to be here today, to think about eternal matters, to think about Easter and life and resurrection, so what we realize is, and it happened in the Bible too, that all of this is within the context of reality. This is all in the context of normal life that is going on. And as we look at this passage, what we find is that there is fear, and yet in the midst of the fear, there are words of hope and promise. Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him. And we find that in the midst of everyday life for these followers of Jesus, there is suddenly a message that transforms and brings hope and brings the reality of a life transformed, not just for that day, but for every day. And as we think about life, so we have to recognize that if we're going to come to a service like this, and if we're going to think about the reality of resurrection, as Jesus points us to, so we have to say, well, is life then for Jenny going to be every day, wake up in the morning, and be like one of those adverts where you kind of bounce out of bed, the sun's shining, the birds are tweeting outside, you go to school, the exam's been cancelled, so they say, "Oh, well, you'd probably have passed it anyway, Jenny, just have it." And you go through life and everything's good. You get a lovely job and the pay salary, Jenny's fantastic. I tell you what, why not have a pay rise, have a car? And so we go on. The Christian message of joy and hope. Well, that's not the Bible's message. The Bible's message is that in the midst of reality and fear and doubt and skepticism and disappointment and all that's going on and living in a world that we see from even listening to the news today is a broken world. It's the reality of living in that world with all of its hardness and all of its pain and all of its disappointments at times. And yet, coming to the equally true reality of eternity and salvation and hope and forgiveness and mercy and grace and joy. Not because of us, not because of our surroundings, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross and the fact that the Heavenly Father raised him and said that he was the first fruits of resurrection, which is like the first bit with more to come. And the more to come is those who put our trust in Jesus. And so living in the reality of the hardness of this world with all its pain, so we can know hope and joy. And I was delighted when we heard, Jenny, about your testimony and all that you said to us. There was just reality ringing through the words of what you said. In Jenny's own words, I struggled a lot with the pressure of GCSEs. I was overwhelmed by stress and worry. And let's just remember, this is after the sentence where Jenny talked about the fact that she had given her life to Christ. Began to doubt God, became focused on failure, thought I would fail my exams, thought everyone was abandoning me, sister going off to uni, best friend changing schools, youth leader leaving. Felt like they were abandoning me, like I thought God had. Even coming to church was a struggle. No longer felt part of the family. Honest reality of what it can feel like at times. And yet Jenny comes here today, and in a moment or two's time, she's going to be standing just over there, and if all goes to plan, she's going to say, Jesus is Lord. How do we get to this place from that place? That place of darkness and pain and confusion and feeling of abandonment. Well, the reality is that Jenny was there on one day, and she said, I'm going to give God another chance. It's the word you use, isn't it, Jenny? I'm going to give God another chance. As I read that, I thought, yeah, giving God another chance. But actually, what Jenny found, as you look back on that story, I think you'd say, Jenny, is that God gave you another chance. Because God is the God of the second chance, and the third chance, and the fourth chance. And whilst we have breath in our lungs, the opportunity to turn to him and say, look, I have messed up throughout my life. I have done things that I know I'm not proud of, things that I wish I hadn't done. There is pain around me. There are members of my family who are ill. I'm struggling with financial issues. I don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from. There are people around the world suffering. What is this life all about? And then looking to the reality of the cross and the resurrection and the empty grave, and realizing that Jesus Christ has given us hope in the midst of all that we know of as life. And as Jenny looked to God one more time and found that he was looking upon her, so the reality is that her life is lived in the context not of Jenny and her strength, not in the context of all the pain or difficulties, even though I know she's in the middle of a fantastic, loving family and great to see so many friends, so there's that context as well. But Jenny talked about the reality of having faith that changes her life. The past year and a half has been a struggle with my health, but my faith has enabled me to carry on. There's still more bumps to come, but I know God will always stay faithful to me. You may know that Jenny's going to be going out, God willing, to work on a BMS World Action Team with BMS World Mission. We'll be going to France if everything works out. And I'm sure there'll be days during that time, Jenny, and in life to come, when there will be bumps on the journey. But it's not about finding a flat road with no bumps. It's about having a God who can help us in the valley and on the mountaintop. A God who is there with us and will, as you say, stay faithful to me. It's the message throughout the Bible of a faithful God. A God who is there for us. A God who looks at us in the midst of all our pain and suffering and says, actually, I love you. I created you. I made you. And I've made you to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father and to know that you are loved and accepted. that you are called into the family, that you are embraced and forgiven. And this is what today is about. It's about Easter, about joy and hope in the midst. A God who gives us another chance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you, in Jesus, took our place on that cross, where we've done things wrong and we have let you down. So we know that the reality is that you have offered us true freedom, a restored identity, the knowledge that we are a child of God. You give us the opportunity to receive a peace and a hope that envelops us and indwells us and allows us to stand firm in the love of Jesus. Lord, as we see this picture today of baptism, of going down into the water, and we're reminded of death and the grave. So thank you that too in that picture we see rising again, and we are reminded of the empty tomb and of life and eternal change. And Lord, we pray that each and every one of us would take the opportunity today and in our lives to accept all that you have offered to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.